desert and produced a steady supply of incredibly human-looking combat robots. "Get closer," said Catherine. As the leader of the Hunter's Lane rebels, she was responsible for hundreds of resistance fighters. Most of them were combat robots who not only looked human, but had also, contrary to their programming, developed a human consciousness. They'd been deployed by the Pan-American Alliance to fight in the war against the Pan-Asian Front, and were among the few who'd managed to escape the horrific slaughter. It was a senseless destruction of robots and military resources, aimed to both demonstrate technological supremacy and entertain the masses, who were charged vast sums in taxes for the privilege, especially as the loser of the battle had to pay for the winner's costs, plus a financial bonus. Under the leadership of Catherine Porter, the rebels were fighting for the immediate end to this war. Their headquarters lay hidden in a former uranium mine, deep in the inaccessible Canadian wilderness, and formed the base for a revolution against the insanity that, sooner or later, would drive the whole of humanity to destruction. The flow of people whom Catherine had helped to escape from the Pan-American government's recruitment teams had recently increased, as it seemed that at least one of the two warring parties had come up with the magnificent idea of replacing expensive combat robots with cheap human cyborgs. Since then, unbeknown to the public, more and more people were disappearing from the deprived areas of Pan-American Alliance cities, aided by the McIntyre Group, and being turned into fighting machines. It was the McIntyre Group who profited from this, earning unimaginable sums from the production of military robots, manufactured in their hundreds every day in the group's secret facilities. Meanwhile, large sections of the population suffered appalling poverty in both urban slums and rural areas. And now there was a new problem, one that could prove far more destructive to humanity than any war.
"You realise we've never been this close to Mac 2, said Silver triumphantly. "This is the first time we've managed to get into his newest research lab."
Catherine put her hand gently on Silver's well-developed shoulders and let it rest there for a moment.
"And this is all thanks to you."
Her simple words of appreciation meant the world to Silver. As a robot, he possessed acute senses that told him the physical state of anyone he was with, whether they were a human or a machine. Right now, his senses were picking up the increasing tension in his boss's body and her raised heart rate, but he didn't need them to see how nervous she was. He noticed how she kept tucking an errant silver strand of hair behind her ear. It had escaped from her perfectly cut bob and was clearly just as rebellious as its owner. As the drone continued on its unobserved path across the enemy's lab, Catherine focused on a human-sized glass box containing a highly complex 3D bioprinter.
"Get closer," she ordered. "I want to get a better look at that robot manufacturing pod."
Silver steered the tiny flying object through the vivid high-definition image of the lab and stopped directly in front of the transparent structure that Catherine had seen. It contained cell material, created using biotechnology that produced a 98% match with human tissue. This was then woven into a robot that looked identical to a human being, apart from the fact that its musculature was generally more developed and its intelligence significantly sharper than most humans. Catherine was one of the most gifted robotics engineers of the 21st century, and her response was genuine.
"I'm really impressed," she whispered as she took in the image of a flawless young woman whose supple athletic body and brunette waist-length hair could give any professional model a run for their money.
Her internal technology was impressive too.
"The R9 series is said to be significantly smarter and more powerful than the previous models," said Silver, looking slightly worried.
He was unsettled, not just because he was fascinated by the beauty he saw before him, but also because he was one of the infamous R8 series, the previous model, that was one of the most skilled fighting robots of its time, and he was now faced with a significant competition.
"If Mac 2 puts her into action, Jack and I will need an update," he stated soberly. "Otherwise, we'll have a hard time going up against her." "You're not afraid of her, are you?"
Catherine looked in mock horror at her blonde, 2-meter-tall robot and gave a subdued smile.
"I don't think you need to be worried," she added reassuringly. "You and your colleagues are the best my lab have ever created. I can't imagine how this new model could be more advanced, particularly as she's based on the same design template as all the R8 models."
"It's not fear I'm feeling, it's respect."